I'm glad that you're here today, just to be able to join our voices together in praise, to give God our gifts together. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I don't know how much joy you brought today. I don't know how much energy you brought today. But today we are blessed. Today we are blessed. And, well, Fern asked this morning if it was going to be a good lesson. And I said, Fern, I made a very good lesson this morning just in the hopes that they would be here to hear it. So we are blessed that they are here to hear it. And I'm really excited because I think we need it. I'm really excited because I think we need it. We have been marching through the Gospels this year with Jesus and walking with Him and seeing the differences between the accounts and understanding the differences between the accounts, but also for the purpose of you and I as believers of walking closer to Jesus and really taking this path and this journey. And it's my hope that we are closer now than January 1st. We should be. It's my hope we're closer than last Sunday, but, you know, sometimes it's slow progress. But we are going to, I'll just let you know. What we're going to do, because Luke's gospel, one of the themes that's jumping out of the page of Luke's gospel is how much Jesus is rejoicing. And so we're going to go back. We made it all the way through, I think, 15 last week. We're going to go back and we're just going to see some of these instances in Luke's gospel. And we are going to see just what it is that makes Jesus and our Father in heaven rejoice. Because if we know what makes heaven rejoice, then we can join in that. And I believe that if we rejoice at the same things that they're rejoicing over, that for us, rejoicing is going to be a little bit easier to come to. So let us, we're going to pray to ask God to show us how to do this, because I think sometimes we lack. Sometimes we fall short in this area. Sometimes we just have a hard time finding the rejoicing. So we're going to ask God to provide that for us. Let's pray together. Father, we praise your name and we thank you. We thank you for everything, because it's all yours and you have decided to share it with us. And Father, that is so clear in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you for letting us walk with you. We thank you for giving us life, for redeeming us, and making us a part of your eternal plan. Father, this morning as we read the scriptures, this morning as we see the living word truly live in our hearing, in our belief, we pray, Father, that as we witness joy, that we will experience joy, and that this week we'll be able to carry with us joy. Father, we love you. We praise your name. And we do all things and offer this prayer through Jesus. Amen. All right, go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. So Luke is going to really make a point in his gospel, reminding us of joy. And again, when you consider the audience and when you consider the things that they had gone through and were currently going through, sometimes we rail against joy, right? Like, now's not a time for joy because I'm suffering. Or now's not a time for blessings and happiness because of my circumstances. And that's exactly who Luke's writing to. I mean, remember, Luke is writing to a displaced group of Christ followers. And all that they had lost and all that was continually coming down upon them as they were being persecuted, as the Pharisees had just basically come the new enforcement wing of Judaism. And as they are coming after these Christians, and you've got, just for their faith, people losing their jobs and losing their homes and losing their families and losing their connections and their lifelong tribe. They're being disconnected from everything they've ever known, everything they've ever loved, everything they've been able to trust and lean upon, except for Jesus. And so Luke's point here in this gospel is, you've got it. You've got the thing. Basically, God allowed or exposed all the other things that they thought they had. And God says, you have the one thing. In Luke chapter 10, it's an interesting story. Before Jesus would go to cities around the region, he picked 72 of his followers. So these are not just the apostles, these are just disciples. These are people who follow Jesus. Hey, he's teaching some things, these are pretty exciting, we've seen the miracles, we've seen some stuff, and he says, okay, come here. And he gathers this crowd, and he goes, I want you to go, two by two, and I want you to go into these towns, and I want you to prepare them for me to come to them. And then he gives them, in Luke chapter 10, he says, here's what you do, here's what you say, and here's how you act. He says, I want you to go to the first house that you see. I want you to go to the first house that you see, and I want you to give a blessing. Give a blessing. And if they accept it, then your blessing and your gift will remain upon that house. He says, don't run house to house. You don't go someplace and imagine yourself as a traveling preacher, and you go and you're doing a, I don't know, we'll just put it in terms that we can understand. You're a traveling preacher, you come to town to a gospel meeting, and you come and say, hey, you know, I'm in town, I'm preaching for your congregation. So, Ms. Stone, I need to stay at your house tonight. And Ms. Stone says, fantastic. I've already got the roast on the oven and it's all ready. So you just come on. And I just eat the roast and we go the next day. I said, well, that was really good. I'm going to see what Fern's cooking tomorrow night. So I'm going to go to her house. And then I've heard a rumor that Sherry's a pretty good cook. So the next day I'm going to go to her house and let her cook for me. And Jesus says, no, that's not what you're doing. You go to the house, you accept whatever is put before you. If anyone is there that is sick, you heal them. And you let them know that the kingdom of God has come. So that's what Jesus tells all of these disciples to do. And they do it. And they go out, and they go to these homes, they go to these towns, and they let them know God's kingdom has come. They come back to Jesus. I want you to see this reaction. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I don't know if you've ever been one of those returning 72, but I have. I mean, you come back and you are on fire, right? I bet our kids even know this. How many of our kids went to camp this summer? Went to some kind of Bible or church camp this summer? Several of them, right? And you go to church camp and it is surrounded with church people doing church things, and you never know, we'll just break out in song. And we're praying together and we're surrounded by good kids. And it is all just fantastic and fun. And you might have got to go fishing, you got to go swimming, you got to play basketball and just hang out. And you have all these things. And you come back and you're like, yeah! And you get back to church and you're like, where to go? It happens, doesn't it? Yeah. These 72, they came back and they said, Jesus, whoo, it's better than what you said. With your authority, the demons were listening to us. And Jesus says, guys, I got to tell you, what happened with you out there? I saw the enemy fall. He's done. He's done. He's done. And then, I don't know, feels like a wet blanket at first. Nevertheless, don't rejoice at the fact that demons are listening and obedient to what you have to say. That's not where your rejoicing should be. Instead, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the sound. It goes a little like this. Wah, wah. Wait, we just had this amazing spiritual experience. And I don't know about you. I do know about this about you. You've been defeated by the work of a demon in your life. I have. You've been there where you got punched in the mouth by the enemy and you did not respond like Jesus. Haven't you? Yeah, we know defeat at the enemy's hands, but we also know victory at the enemy's hands. And church, that's life. That's life. And they just had a spiritual victory. And they are coming back and they are high. They are up here. They're at a 10. And they're like, yes! Yes! In your name, the enemy is defeated. And Jesus says, that is amazing. And I saw it. And it's wonderful. But, that's not where your joy is. You can't let us have, what, is 5 minutes? Jesus, what are you doing? I mean, is that what he's doing? Is he raining on their parade? Is that what he's trying to do? No, maybe he's doing something else. Maybe he's doing something else. When he tells them, your joy cannot be anchored or rooted in the spiritual up here's. Right? Because if it is, what happens in the spiritual down here's? No joy. If the joy is here, probably not going to be here. So instead, he says, your joy is based upon the fact that you are saved. Now, why would Jesus do that? Because no matter what the enemy is doing, if the enemy is winning in your fight, or if the enemy is losing in your fight, the one thing that will not change is the fact that your name is written in heaven. That's where our joy is. That can't be taken away. Wow. Wow. Wait, do you mean to tell me that Christian joy is going to be on the same level when we are at church camp and we've got 100 people just together out on a big rock in nature? It's the same as when, you know, 70 of us are in here going, That the joy is supposed to be the same? And Jesus says, yes. Rejoice in the right thing and your joy will never go away. Rejoice in the right thing and your joy will never go away. Church, look, you and I had a week last week. Guess what? If you are fortunate, you'll have a week this week. And there's gonna be some good and there's gonna be some bad. And your name will be written in heaven. All week long. Rejoice. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, it is. Now, that's so good, he continues on in the chapter, and he goes in the very next thing. Verse 21, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. They're rejoicing. Now he's rejoicing, and he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Father, I rejoice that you have brought this amazing, wonderful news to reveal us to them. Church, you have come to know and believe. It's like Mark said this morning. We made our confession. We have come to know and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That God sent him here to join us so that we could join him. And Jesus says, I'm rejoicing at that. Now, was Jesus' life always wonderful and happy and easy? No, the very good news that he's rejoicing at would lead to his physical destruction. And yet he still rejoiced. Why? Big picture, right? Big picture. Our suffering serves a purpose. The Apostle Paul would tell us, he said, your suffering is doing something in you. It's building something in you. It's making something bigger than you in you. So don't suffer like everybody else. Because you're not everybody else. Hold on to your hope. And then in verse 23, then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Church, how many times have we been robbed of our joy because we were wanting a word from God? Lord, I'm praying. I need an answer. I'm searching. I'm asking. I'm knocking. We talked about that one last week, right? Ask, seek, and knock. How do you ask? How do you seek? How do you knock? Is it expectantly? Lord, I don't know how you're going to fix this problem. Or, Lord, I can't wait to see how you're going to fix this problem. Church, God has made us those annoying, happy people that always see light and always find the good in every situation. That's who He's made you. Quit fighting it. Quit fighting it. And I know I can be one of those annoying people. I want to wallow. Really? I want to feel bad. Really? Yeah. Why? Or how? Those of us that are Christians, and that's us, church, that's us. I know who I'm talking to. The question is not why, it's how. Having your name written in heaven, having the Son of God revealed to you, how? How can you not rejoice? How can you not find joy in what God has done for you? Chapter 11, verse 27. Funny little story. 11:27. He said these things. A woman in the crowd raised her voice. I love this. Jesus is teaching. He's got his crowds around. And some lady out just in the multitude. Right? I mean, this is like one of those, I don't know, you ever been in a crowd of people and you just always, there's one cool guy? Maybe you're at a concert and someone will yell, play Freebird! You know, that guy? That's who this woman is! That's who this woman is! She's in the crowd and Jesus is teaching, she's like, okay, alright, this is my chance. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. No, you won't do it. Oh, I'm gonna do it. Here it goes. Here's my chance. And Jesus inhales and takes a breath and she yells out, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. What? You had one job. And that's what you went with? Right? She's feeling good. I got it in. And without missing a beat, I can tell because there's a 28 right next to it. But he said, blessed rather, you hear that, rather, he does that a lot with his happiness and his blessings, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now, I'm giving this lady a hard time, but she's a proud mama and she can connect with his mama and said, boy, your mama must be proud. Because this is good. She recognized what was happening was good and said, your mama must be proud. Blessings upon her. And Jesus said, the same blessings upon everyone who hears and obeys. He looks at the crowd and says, we're family. Any blessing that the family members of Jesus receive are blessings upon you. Wait, what? Church, you have the family name. You have the family name. The only family that's going to last. That's what it means to be adopted as His children. We're made family. He accepted us. He accepted us and brought us in and said, hey, whatever I got, it's yours. You have access to all of it. All of you have access to all of it. What a reason to rejoice. Go over to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 32. Chapter 12, verse 32. All right, sometimes our happiness is, well, think about it. Some things rob us of our joy, right? Sometimes happiness is, you know, we really want it. We think it should be there, but then something gets in the way. Here's one of those things that gets in the way, but Jesus says in verse 32 of Luke chapter 12, fear not, little flock. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, our natural response is don't be afraid. But you haven't seen, what are you afraid of? What am I not afraid of? Here, you want me to get my list out? No, it's on my phone. That's what we do. And Jesus comes along and says, don't be afraid. He didn't have to list them. He didn't have to give you why, does he? No, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is happy to give you His kingdom. What are you afraid of? You have received God's very eternal kingdom. That kind of squashes fear. Or it's supposed to. It's supposed to? Yeah, it's supposed to. So how do you respond? Sell your possessions, give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look, I'm gonna give you a little marriage and family and parental advice. You ready for it? Next time somebody complains that they can't find happiness, or next time somebody complains about how difficult it is, tell them to get rid of something. Oh, you're not happy today? Let me have that cell phone. Oh, you're having a hard time being happy? Let me have that Xbox. Oh, you can't find any joy? Give me the car keys. I'm trying to think what I... Oh, you can't be happy? Give me those golf clubs. They don't work anyway. Well, not going to bother me. And if I never get to use them, do they actually exist? Whatever. You just find your thing. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus says. Are you worried about stuff? Yeah, I'm worried about stuff. And His answer is, then get rid of some stuff. Wait, what? Yes! That's how you worry less about stuff, about things. You get rid of stuff. Get rid of your stuff. Put your treasure in heaven. Because apparently, your heart has become attached to all the things around you. Because the only way to fear being a part of and owning membership in God's eternal kingdom, the only way to be afraid is if your heart is too attached to those earthly things. It's time for a fire sale. Because it's going to burn anyway. You'll just get a better price today. That's His solution. That's His solution. Quit allowing your heart to be tied to things that don't matter. And you won't have fear. I love that. That makes me happy. That makes me happy, and I need to hear that. You need to hear that. Why? Because what do we get so afraid of? What do we get so upset about? It's the things here. It's the things that we have allowed to just get in and go, got you now. And how do you know they got you? You're afraid. You're not happy. How do I know I'm chasing earthly things? Earthly things no longer bring me any joy. Because I don't see them as a blessing from my Father. I see them as something that I must acquire. Right? What are we still afraid of? He conquered death. I mean, if you guys will indulge my British accent, what are you going to do? Bleed on me? That's for just a couple people in the crowd, okay? I'll explain it later. What else are you going to do? You can't hurt me. There is nothing to fear. There is no fear with Christ. There's not. There's not. So we can be happy. Oh, go to 15. I'm not going to reread them. You were here last week. Last week we saw these stories, these three stories. And the three stories in Luke chapter 15 are the lost things. The sheep, the coin, and the son. And this wasn't even a part that we really talked about, but I want you to see this. First one was a sheep. How many sheep should have been in the flock? And how many were lost? One. Good. How many coins did the woman have at the beginning of the story? 10. And she lost. How many sons did the dad have?
Two.
How many did he lose? One. And in every story, Jesus says, when it was found, the response was rejoicing. Now, I'm gonna pour it on your heart now, okay? If you're having a hard time rejoicing, church, I'm pretty sure it's because we're not evangelizing. Because those us who have been involved in the role of seeker, searcher, and finder rejoice when lost things are found. And more than a sheep, and more than a coin, a soul is the most important thing that can be found. Jesus says that is what heaven is rejoicing about. That's what heaven's rejoicing about. If you haven't checked, you've met Huey, right? He's a happy guy. You've met him, right? I have a hard time saying that without imagining that dog with the rear end that goes, happy guy, happy guy. Have you guys not seen these videos? Happy dog. I love that one. It makes me happy. It makes me happy. Whew. They are reaching the lost at a healthy clip in Brazil. The lost are being found, and they're rejoicing. I know I had to upgrade my data plan as he sends me so many pictures and messages and pray for this family and videos and baptisms and all of this. And they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing because that's what heaven rejoices about. Look, church, this week, if you're having a hard time finding something to rejoice over, it's time to reach out and find something that's lost. And the something that's lost is not your self-fulfillment. The something that is lost in our hearts and in our lives that is preventing us from being happy and rejoicing. What is lost are the souls that are all around us. And Jesus in Luke chapter 15 says, I'm going to let you be a part of this. I'm going to let you find what gets us excited. Go reach out to the lost. Because when you find somebody, when someone is found, when someone that was dead is now alive again, you can't not be happy. You can't not rejoice. Again, does that not connect back to his message back in chapter 10? Here's what you rejoice about, that your name is written in the book of heaven. Salvation. Tony mentioned it in his prayer this morning. And we have sung it together today. And this is, we are here to celebrate and to praise the name of God for what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. Church, we won't affect them as if when we show up, we just have an attitude of, yeah, he saved my soul, but what's he done this week? Saved your soul. Yeah, well, what's he going to do tomorrow? Save your soul! Yeah, but I got this thing. Sell it! You want to be happy? Get rid of it. Well, how's that going to make me happy? Well, Jesus said it. Well, I'm worried about this. It's too much happiness, isn't it? I mean, it's really too much. All right, let's go to 17. Luke chapter 17. All right. Here it is. Luke chapter 17. Go down to verse 20. All of this rejoicing and all of this happiness and all of this, oh, you really expect me to look past my present sufferings to be on fire and to be joyful and just to be, you know, up here with you, with all that I got going on and all how busy I am and how much suffering I'm doing and how hard it all is and just everything around me. And then in chapter 17, verse 20, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. He answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is. Or, hey, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. All right, you say you're from God. So when's God's kingdom come? When is his rule getting here? Because we see the bad, we see everything else, and that's how he answers, right? When is God's rule going to come here? When is he going to redeem all of this? When is he going to fix everything? When is he going to fulfill that tear down the mountains, lift up the low places? When is all that going to be fulfilled? And every time Jesus says, it is being fulfilled literally right now as I say it to you. Well, that's not what I see. I see problems up ahead. I see trouble to fall into. I see. And you and I are no better than unbelievers. Because we let our see become our reality. That's not following Jesus, is it? It is not. Never has been, never will be. Jesus says God's kingdom is not going to show up to where they will all say, oh, there it is. Let's go. Or, no. It's over there. Come on. God's kingdom. It's right here. Because you know the amazing thing about God's kingdom? Is God's rule can be right here and change everything without changing everything. Because guess what? You're everything. It's what he's always wanted. It's what he's always wanted. Is to change you. For you to get it. For you to believe it. For you to trust it. For you to be happy about it. For you to rejoice with it. Because when we do, we start to grow. We start to look like Jesus. And people start to go, "What? That really is something very odd. I mean, but you have pain. Mm-hmm. But your family's falling apart. You know suffering. And you're not complaining about it. No, I just had a garage sale last Friday. I'm doing good. We made $23. I paid more than that for those golf clubs. I'm glad we can laugh together. No, more importantly, I'm glad you can laugh at me. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Look, church, too often we get caught in that trap. We're just like those Pharisees. Surely the kingdom of God will be here. I'm going to find it. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to be with the right people. I'm going to be in the right situation. I'm going to be doing the right thing. And then I'm going to find it. And then once I know I find it, I know I'll rejoice. And he says, hey, stop. Because God's kingdom is right where he put it. That means you and I today, oh, this is good. You and I brought it. And in a few minutes, you and I are going to take it. And wherever we are, it's going to be. God's rule. My life shows them what it looks like when I do not fear, when I rejoice at my salvation, when I walk in the steps of Jesus, when circumstances do not define me, my Lord and Savior do. Because he looked at me and said, I want you to be a part of my family. And I've made it possible. Right? Yeah. So, that's all I'll give you from Luke. But Tony read for us from Philippians chapter 3. And I'll just remind you, because if you're like me, you probably just heard those words, oh, as to zeal and as to Pharisee, and right? Because that's what you got. Anybody else or just me? Those are the ones that jump out, right? Paul's saying, I'm the best. If anyone has reason to boast, it's me. But we missed it. Paul said, anything I might hold on to is nothing compared to what? Knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. Church, it is time for you and I to be energized by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Why? Why is that it? Because that's bigger than everything. That's it. He died for our sins, and God brought him back. And he said, see? God can be trusted. God can be trusted. And the enemy is going to come in this week and go, did God really say you could trust him through the fill in the blank that I'm going to put in your lap? Did God really say he could be trusted through that? You know, if you follow me, I'll take away all that suffering. You follow me, I won't let anything happen to you. I mean, look at the job that God's doing. I mean, you're in pain. You're going through hardships. I mean, you say you follow God, but what has God done for you? Right? You need to recognize that voice. Because that's not your father. Your father said, I saved you. That's what I've done for you. And tomorrow when you get up, guess what? Good news. Your father's going to say, I saved you. Get up. And the day after that, if you were given it, he's going to wake you up and say, I saved you. How should we respond? Rejoice. Rejoice. So good, I'll say it again. Rejoice. All right, church. I don't know what song Steve's about to lead us in, but I think it is. If you need your family to help you rejoice today, let us help you. All right? Because we're not always shiny, happy people all the time. And sometimes it's hard. But the good news is we have each other. We have each other. So if you need anything, if we can help you in any way, you need to find that joy, we can pray for you. If you're not a Christian this morning and you need the one thing that takes care of everything, today's your day to make your confession.